Colossians, the third chapter, and I want to begin reading at verse number 12 through verse 17. Have it say, amen. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the church say amen. Want to use for a thought, whatever you do. Whatever you do. Church, the time after Christmas is one of quick descent. Because immediately after celebrating the birth of Christ, one must begin preparing for the ending of the year and the beginning of a new year. After Christmas, time moves quickly. Yet, after we have waited in great anticipation for Christmas to come, after we've gone through the preparation of the season of Advent, after we have lit the candles around the Advent wreath and recited the litany, after we have done our preparing and sharing with loved ones, exchanging gifts, after Christmas has come and gone, the question is, has it made a difference in your life? Or have we gotten to the point where we can't get the meat of the meaning of this special time in the life of the believer? Because we have put the emphasis on ourselves and not on the Christ that makes Christmas happen. What difference, church, has it made and is making in our lives? Is it just some time off your job to rest, relax, without time of reflection and meditation? Christmas has come and gone, but have we allowed the Christ in Christmas to be born in our hearts? It makes for a wonderful scenario, this quick descent from Christmas into the new year, because if we allow the Christ of Christmas to be born anew in our heart, it prepares us to face the new year with great optimism, with fresh vigor and vitality. We should be leaping and jumping. We should be like a racehorse in a gate, ready for the gate to open, to dash towards the possibilities of the new year. We should not be limping and dragging with an old mindset that says, here we go again. If you don't have vitality, if you don't have vigor, if you don't have a racehorse in you, you should reassess as to whether you have allowed Christ to be born anew in your heart. Because if we discover we have not allowed Christ to be born in our hearts, then you got to open up the manger of your heart and prepare a place for Jesus in your heart. You see, we got to prepare a place for Christ just as Christ has promised us that he has prepared a place for us so that we can experience the reality of Jesus' words that says, where I am, there you may be also. Now, this is not just about dying and going to heaven, but to be in the presence of Christ is the position we as believers must desire at all times. Wherever Jesus is, that's where you and I should desire to be. I believe the Jackson 5 said, I want to be where? I know all y'all wouldn't save all your life. So often we want Jesus to be in our presence. But we should always desire to be in his presence. Because the psalmist has informed us in the 16th psalm that in your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When we fail to allow Christ to be born anew in our hearts, when we fail to be in the presence of Christ, we make the mistake of bringing the old baggage, 2015. Into the fresh start of 2016. Y'all gonna pray with me? This is why the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, he gives clear directions to the believers how they should move forward in life. He challenged them in verse 9 by declaring, do not lie to one another. Seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In other words, Paul is challenging them. Don't make false appearances with the deception of trying to present the old as new. Because it'll show up in your actions and in your practices. But you should have a new presentation, stripping off the old way, being born anew daily and growing in your relationship and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know. We like to say, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Get rid of that thinking. If it's not broke, break it. And then do a new thing. Stop holding on to the old when the new is waiting to give you fresh revelation and fresh possibility. You got to break the old you, because there's a new you ready to come forth. You see, when you are in relationship with the Lord, it will propel you forward. It will propel us over the barriers of life, because when you discover your right relationship with Christ, you will discover, as the Apostle Paul puts it, that Christ is all and in all. That's why we should not allow Christ not to be born anew in our hearts, Because Christ is all. Somebody say all. And in all. Somebody say all. Christ makes the difference and makes up every deficit, because Christ is all and in all. He is all.
Lord have mercy.
Which means Jesus is the answer. And Christ is in all, which means he is ever present. So whenever we find ourselves in the tough places of life, remember the answer is present. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Yes. Preach, Reverend. Whenever you find yourself in a sick circumstance, yes. Remember healing is present. Yes. When you find yourself in a lack situation, remember abundance is present. Whenever you find yourself in sorrow's valley, remember joy is present. Whenever you find yourself in a place that you can't see your way, remember the one who declared, I am the way, truth, and the life is present. Christ is all. Jesus will be all we need, no matter what state we're in. Jesus is our peace for our storm, boldness for our fears, power for our weakness, hope for our hopelessness. He is all. Our protector, our provider, our providence, and our promise. Because he is all, we can count on Christ to be in all. He'll be in our troubles. He'll be in our doubts and fears, in our confusion and in our chaos, in our joy and in our pain, despair, disappointments. Whether we're up or down, he'll be there. I said he's in all. He's at your workplace. He's at the schoolhouse. He's in the church house. He's in your home, in the hospital, in the jailhouse, in your automobile. When you're in a crowd, he'll be with you. And when you're all alone, he'll be right there. There's nowhere you can go where the Lord won't be present. Because he is in all. And he is all. Then Paul goes on to tell the church that the test of your change, of stripping off the old and putting on the new, is going to be demonstrated in how you treat one another. Lord have mercy. The change will show up in how you settle your differences. This is why Paul directs them, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. With one another and forgive each other as Christ has forgiven you. You see, if you can't forgive, you can't get forgiven. And then to clothe yourself in love. Love binds us all together. And then Paul goes on to tell them, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Because when you got peace, when the peace of Christ is present, it diminishes the opportunity for the enemy to create chaos and confusion. When you let the word dwell richly in you, then he says, give thanks through your praise. Then Paul punctuates it by declaring, now I've told you what you ought to do. Now, if you're hard headed, if you're around here saying, well, I just got to be me, that's just how I am, I just can't change, I'm too old to be changing. Okay, go ahead with your bad, wrong self. Paul goes on and said, now I told you what you ought to do. But if you can't grasp those directions on how to live in love, peace, and forgiveness, if you can't comprehend putting on kindness and meekness and compassion and patience, Paul says, let me make it clear by saying this, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul says, in other words, if your words and actions can't be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, then don't say it. And Lord knows, don't do it. Then he says he wants to inform them of the consequences when you call on the name of the Lord, but then your actions don't line up with his name. Deuteronomy 5 and 11 says, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. So whatever you do, Paul says, don't play with the Lord's name, but do it in the name of the Lord, and then give thanks. You see, if you can't give thanks, then you didn't do it for the Lord. You did it for the wrong reason. But give thanks. And whatever you do, well, let us go forth. That's a good motto for us to hold on to as we take the new birth of Jesus in our hearts into the new land of a new year. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Perhaps Paul says this, not just to inform us not to play with the Lord's name, but to give us insight to the fact that there's power when you do it in his name. You see, Romans 10 and 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. Then James 5 and 14 says, are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And then Philippians 2 and 10 says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee gotta bow, and every tongue gotta confess that Jesus, he is Lord. And then give glory to the Father. So when you do it, and when you speak it in the name of the Lord, you can claim power, because there's power in the name of the Lord. I wonder if I got a witness today. Is there anybody here who knows that when you call on his name, demons get nervous? When you call on his name, the atmosphere shifts. When you call on his name, when you call on Jesus, something is about to break loose. I wonder if I got somebody in here who don't mind calling on his name. Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. I love to call his name. His name, I said his name, is the sweetest name I know. His name is soothe my sorrows. His name is medicine for my malady. His name is joy for my sorrow. Oh, shucks, y'all. His name, his name, his name will make a way out of no way. Is there anybody here? Don't mind calling on his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. Whatever you do, don't you play with his name, but you call his name. Whatever you need will come. It will come. It will come. It will come quickly. It will come right when you need it. It will come pressed down, shaken together, and running over. When you call on his name, it'll make a change in your life. Hallelujah. Put your hands together.